Nikes. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Having a good time. Hope you had a great 3-day weekend. I know I did. Maybe hit some bars. Did some karaoke. That brings us to the first story in the Doom Scroll. So there's a big argument going on TikTok about whether or not, Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson is the best karaoke song of all time. People on TikTok are arguing about that because, you know what? I'm glad they're arguing about that. There's really a lot of other things they could be arguing about. And this is wholesome and innocent, comparatively. Not arguing about any kind of sexual orientation thing, trans issues, Russia, Ukraine, Biden. Oh, my God. Please keep arguing about karaoke. It is in this order, according to TikTok. Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. I never realized that the U in Since You've Been Gone is just the letter U. I'm so glad we don't do that anymore. I don't know why we did it in the first place. Was it to save ink before everything was digital? I don't know. Then Respect by Aretha Franklin. No. Already I'm out. By the way, I'm not afraid to admit this. Since You've Been Gone is a jam. It really is. That is a badass song, and that woman just nails it. You shouldn't sing in karaoke unless you're a good singer. Same thing with Respect by Aretha Franklin. Also, it only works as a song for you to sing if you are a woman. If you are a man and you're up there talking about how when you come home, you expect your dinner to be made, doesn't come off as well as you think it does. Come and Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. Okay, finally, that one I can see. And Island in the Sun by Weezer. Sure. Not my favorite Weezer song. But I can think of worse ones to sing at karaoke. But here's what other people are saying. No. You cannot have those as the best karaoke song of all time. It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. is the best. Are you? I did it again. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Nobody has the brain capacity to remember all the words of that song while they're drunk at karaoke. It's going to be, that's great. It's Lenny Bruce is not a, Homer Simpson did a thing with the planets and the it's the end. And then that you'd have to just kind of babble until you get to that point. Also, don't do We Didn't Start the Fire. That's also a bad one. Don't do that unless you know all the words. Don't do that unless you're Billy Joel. Other people said Sweet Caroline. Yes, Sweet Caroline is a good one. So long as you forget about the context that it's about a 13-year-old girl, it's a great song. You know, earlier when we were talking about places you've been kicked out of, I was nearly kicked out of a karaoke bar one time. Because I thought everybody was having fun. I thought we were all having a blast. I thought that when the guy did the bop, bop, boz on Sweet Caroline, me pounding the table on the bop, bop, boz would go over well. I also thought that the table was sturdier. And when I hit it on the third bar, everything flipped up off the table and it was a mess. Piano Man. Also, they say it's a great karaoke song. And Living on a Prayer. Yeah, all those. Oh, the high harmonies hard on Living on a Prayer. I don't know. Personally, I'm a fan of the Green Acres theme song. Do that one as a couple song, and it nails every single time. Next story in the Doom Scroll. Is this... the bad thing about those buy now, pay later services is that you don't get that much extra time. It's basically Gen Z's version of layaway. But this is something I could get behind. A New Zealand-based pizza chain is doing a new spin on Buy Now, Pay Later called Buy Now, Pay...
Much, much later when you die.
Yeah, it's demonic. It's about death. The place is called Hell Pizza. I get to use the effect again.
Hell Pizza! I'm having... Uh-oh, now I can't get unstuck. Oh, no, I'm going to have to talk like this the rest of the show. It's stuck.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm done. Anyway, it's called Hell Pizza. The promotion is called the Afterlife Pay. That's a play on After Pay, one of the services. It's not open to everyone. You need to be local. They're accepting 666 applicants from New Zealand and 666 from Australia. And if you do it, you're promising that you will write your own will and you'll write in the bill under the will. Here's a clip of the commercial they made for it. I don't like this.
It is me.
Oh, that'd be $25. Did you want to pay now or would you like to use something we call afterlife pay?
After what, sorry?
Afterlife pay.
Afterlife pay?
What's afterlife pay?
Oh, it's a new service we're trialing. You see my lawyer friend over here?
Yeah.
You just need to sign a few papers with them, and then you'll only pay once you're dead.
Okay, dude, you didn't have to say dead like that. Like, why? Once you're dead. I never thought that somebody with a New Zealand accent could ever sound threatening. Because they do. They sound like even cuter Australians. But nope, that was terrifying. I didn't like that at all. So, anyway, it's a pizza place where you can pay for your food after you're dead. So it's like health insurance in America. If this was an allegory for health insurance, that'd be awesome. But it's New Zealand, and, you know, they have this thing where they actually care about each other and pay for health insurance. It's also a creepy video. I don't like it. And it makes me not want to eat pizza and start making healthier decisions. Or at least eat at another pizza place. I'm not eating there. Ooh. Next story on the Doom Scroll is this. The Mayans, remember like 2012, they were supposed to have predicted the apocalypse?
I think it was supposed to happen on 2012.
It was supposed to happen in 2012. We were out of dates on the Mayan calendar, which wasn't really accurate because I don't think the Mayan calendar actually lined up with our calendar. And there's also
the Gregorian.
The Gregorian calendar. And thank you for adding that detail.
It was important.
And I think, if I remember correctly, it was all BS because, again, it didn't line up with our calendar. But on top of that, it was like it just was the last day that they had written out. It wasn't like they were predicting the apocalypse or anything. So whatever. Though there is a theory that the world did end. And that's the whole Mandela effect thing, if you've ever heard of that, where people believe, like, instead of just accepting that they have mistakenly believed something, like how to spell Berenstain Bears, or that Nelson Mandela died in like the 2013 or 14, whenever he died. Instead, it's people going like, no, that happened years ago. And it's only now that it's happening here on this earth. So I must be from a different earth. What's 2 + 2 on that earth? But people think like maybe in 2012, the world did end. And that's why look around. That's why we are the way we are. It's a better theory than we just made a lot of mistakes. According to a reporter who specializes in parenting, Mayans are really, really good at getting their kids to do chores. And here's how they do it. Always do chores with the kids helping or watching, which empowers them to join in and plays off of kids' deep desire to be helpful. So here's how you can do it with your own kids. You start vacuuming and you make it look like fun and the kids want to join in. So it's time to kick the Roomba to the curve, I guess. Also, I guess mowing the grass. That's something that might work. That actually worked on me growing up because I was an idiot. And my brother Tom Sawyered me and actually made me believe that mowing the grass is really fun. And then, like, that third rock hit my shin. And I realized, no, this isn't fun. My brother's a monster. They also say, don't do chores while the kids play. Let your kids watch TV so you can be more efficient doing laundry or cleaning. Make the chores a team effort, even if it slows you down. Think of it as family bonding time. Nah, see, that's the problem. I can't do that. If I have something that I want to get done, I want to get it done as quickly and efficiently as possible. That's why I'm a terrible father, because then I literally gave my kid a time limit on how long he was allowed to cry earlier today. Because it's all about efficiency. I think it's the German in me. They say let your kid help even if they aren't helpful. You'd get the dishes done a lot faster without help from your kid, but the Mayans always encourage their kids to help. Find something the kids can do and never force them to join. Again, this isn't going to work for most people. Not everybody has enough time for your kid to sit there and screw up the dishes constantly over and over again. And by the way, the point of getting your kids to help in with chores is so that it gets done quicker. I don't care that they know how to do the chores. I don't want to do them.
And when they move out, they'll know how to do those chores by themselves. If they move out.
I couldn't care less. Let them be like me. They just have to find a woman.
Added bonus.
They just have to find a woman who can shame them into taking care of themselves. That's what I did.
Yeah. Make for a great marriage when they're past their 40s and 50s, right?
It's worked out for me. Honestly, I'm a much better person because my wife has nagged me into being a better person. That nagging, I'd just be a scumbag still. 21 years old, living in my own filth. Only, 20 years later. Did you do any senior pranks when you were in high school there, Max?
It happened. I didn't. I don't really even remember the ones that it went down at, but I think I know where you're going with this.
So there's some senior pranks that have made the news today because it's towards the end of the school year. So it's that season. This is one that was laughed off as fun. Some kids in Fort Meade, Maryland, near Baltimore, listed their high school on Zillow at $42,069. Get it? $420, $69, $420, $69. I'm pretty sure Elon Musk was behind this one. They described it as a 12,458 square foot half working jail with 20 bedrooms and 15 bathrooms. Quote, all 15 bathrooms come with sewage issues, and there's a nice spacious kitchen and dining room with a private basketball court. School played along. They joked that the property's value has vastly been underestimated and that it wouldn't be on the market very long. Zillow eventually pulled the listing down, but you can see some screenshots of it. The senior prank that did not go over so well was the school in this next one. Some kids in Burlington, North Carolina, got into their school at night last week and filled the toilets and urinals with cement. See, this is one of those things where people don't understand what a prank is.
Yeah,
that's
vandalism.
This is just petty vandalism.
Well,
hey, remember when I pranked you by setting your car on fire? You were so mad about that. Oh my God. Remember when I pranked you by pushing your mom off a cliff? That was such a funny prank. It's not what a prank is. A prank is tricking someone with innocent fun.
Remember that prank when I put bleach in your Pepsi?
Yeah, it was hilarious. My teeth have never been whiter, though.
There was another prank. So you didn't hit the one that I saw where these kids coordinated with the teacher's spouse, and they all went in there and had a slumber party in the teacher's house. And when the teacher got home, there's just like 20 kids sleeping in their living room.
Oh, I did see that. I saw that video. It's very sweet.
That's a harmless and funny prank. But, some people still found a way to get upset at it.
To ruin it.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That's something I don't understand is in these videos, if the person who the prank is being pulled on isn't upset, why are you upset on their behalf? So worst thing you can do to somebody is decide that they aren't upset about something that's happening to them. I mean, yeah, because she opens the door and she's like, hello, my little bunnies, or something like that. And it's, yeah, it's like 25 teenagers in the room. And they were there legally. Wasn't some kind of weird Anthony Kiedis situation? Next story of the Doom Scroll. And the final story. Some runners may not remember winning a race because of adrenaline, from what I've heard. Others may not because they were knocked out cold while chasing after cheese. That's this woman. There's this thing in England called Cooper Hills Cheese Rolling and Wake. It's an annual event over there where people race down a very steep 200-yard long hill. And they chase a wheel of double Gloucester cheese. And this year's event happened yesterday. A 19-year-old Canadian named Delaney Irving won the women's race despite falling and being knocked unconscious on her way down and rolling across the finish line. She didn't realize that she won until later when she woke up in a medical tent. And she said, I remember running and then bumping my head. And then I woke up in a tent. I still don't really believe it, but it feels great. It's an extreme event, so injuries aren't uncommon, but winning while unconscious has never happened before. And I saw the video of this. She literally does just bite it, like going down the hill, like just ass over tea kettle. It's bad. It's really bad. So she's lucky to survive. But she's not the only person who's won a race while having no idea that they were even in a race.
Luge, where the guy wears the slick suit. This is on the bobsled run, but it's not even a sled. It's just Bob. It's just a human being hanging on for their life. This is the whole sport. Oh, he pointed his toes. Oh, this guy's a tremendous athlete. The luge is the only sport I've ever seen that you could have people competing in it against their will, and it would be exactly the same. You know, if they were just grabbing people off the street, hey, what is this? I don't want to be in the luge. You know, you put the helmet on them, you wouldn't really hear them screaming, just, you're in the luge, buddy.
I don't know if you know this, Jerry Seinfeld, kind of funny. He was kind of funny. He had his moments. Back in the day. But yeah, I actually totally get his point and believe it 100% that you could put somebody in the luge involuntarily and they would do just as well as somebody who's trained for it their entire life. And there's no other sport like that. It's why those Jamaican bobsled guys were able to get into the Olympics with very little training. Not saying they didn't deserve it. They were just as good as anybody else who qualified. The point is, you don't have to be that good to just, you just have to not care. You just have to defy death. Just get in the sled. Try to have fun. Not die. You know? I don't know. I'm trying to think of other Olympic sports that are along those lines. I think most Winter Olympics sports, because they just, any sport that involves gravity, really. Skiing, long jump on the skis.
If you could win a gold medal, what Olympic sport would you pick?
What one would I pick?
Yeah, like that you think would be the easiest for you to achieve. Even if you had the time to train and everything.
Oh, I have to train.
We'll just lump it in. We'll just say you do it.
Speed walking. I can do speed walking.
Is that an Olympic
sport? I would do that.
No?
Yeah, it was a few years ago. I don't know if it's been one recently. But yeah, I would do speed walking just because if I'm going to be an Olympic sport, I'm going to look ridiculous compared to everyone else. But in speed walking, everybody looks bad.
I'd go for golf.
Everybody.
I'd do it.
You'd go with golf?
It's brand new. Yeah. Xander Schauffele is the only one that's won.
I don't know what these words are. It's Skyrodites. Nights. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I don't know what I like more. 3-day weekend or a 4-day week? But honestly, I think it's a 4-day week. I know that's weird. That's crazy. Because all day today, you've probably been telling yourself, it's Monday. It's only Monday. And then you realize, wait, it's Tuesday. And tomorrow's Wednesday. The week's halfway over already. I mean, I actually like my job, so I haven't really been thinking that. But I'm sure some of you have. Must suck to hate your job. Somebody who loves their job is Pedro. I can't say his name right. It's Pedro Pascal, right? Pedro Pascal. He is in The Mandalorian playing the titular character. He also is in a great TV show, The Last of Us. And he, important to this story, was the Viper on Game of Thrones.
And don't forget Narcos.
I never watched Narcos. Is that good?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so, so good in everything.
He's not even the main character.
Doesn't matter. He's not the main character in Game of Thrones, and he made that show pretty good, other than, you know, the last season and a half. Yeah. Anyway, on Game of Thrones, he played a character, Oberyn Martell, who fights a gigantic character named the Mountain, and he's getting him. He's got the best of him. Has him on the ground. He's got this spear with poison on it. He's going to kill the Mountain. But he gets cocky. And the Mountain is able to grab him and grabs him by the face, shoves his thumbs into his eyes, and breaks his head open. I don't know if you remember how incredibly violent Game of Thrones was, but man, that even for that show, that was a lot. That was a lot. He quickly learned, though, that fans of the show are a little bit rabid, a little bit crazy. During a recent appearance, he talked about on a website. He talked about how he's gotten pink eye several times because apparently fans will come up to him and want to put their thumbs in his eyes to recreate the scene from Game of Thrones where he's getting his face busted open. He says, I remember earlier on, because of Game of Thrones and the way my character died, speaking of touching, people were super into taking selfies with their thumbs in my eyes. And at first, I was so earnest and happy about the success of the character in the show, I'd let them. And then I remember getting eye infections. So there you go.
That's crazy.
It's crazy for several reasons. One, who the hell is going up to Pedro Pascal saying, can I shove my thumbs in your eyes and take a selfie? Second of all, why is he such a nice guy that he was willing to do it? I can't even imagine somebody like coming up and it's, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think, going up to Sean Bean. Saying, hey, and I have a picture of me hacking your head off or pretending to. Hey, Edward Norton, I'm going to bite the curb. Could you pretend like you're stomping on my face?
Hey, Christian Bale, here's this axe. Can you, and a clear poncho, can you act like
while we listen to Huey Lewis in the news? Yeah. I don't know. That's just gross. I've had pink eye before. I haven't had it in a long time. I had it, and I consider it an act of love, much like Pedro Pascal getting it. I had pink eye for several months when I lived in Florida, because when we lived there, this is about 12 years ago, my 14-year-old son was two, and I would change his diapers in the morning before I went to work, so my wife didn't have to. I thought it was like a nice thing to do before I went to work, and I would do it first thing when I got up in the morning. And then I would change his diaper, and you can see where this is going. I would put my contacts in.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention you're in Florida, so pink eye just floats out in the air out there.
It's all over the place. Honestly, pink eye was probably better than getting gator hepatitis.
I think in Florida.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there's no amount of hand washing that you can do to make your fingers clean enough after changing a poopy diaper. You should always put your contacts in first. That's all I'm saying. But I wore that pink eye like a badge of honor. See, this is a guy who pitches in, I would say, as I would blindly cross the street, dodging traffic because I couldn't see over my crusted up eyelids. So, yeah.
You know, I've never had pink eye in my whole life.
No?
Never had pink eye. Never broke a bone.
Me either. Never broken a bone.
It's not hard to avoid, I feel like.
I feel like anymore. Like, neither of my kids have even come close to it. I think that to break a bone, you have to be active.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I was active as a kid, though. I mean, climbed trees and played all sorts of sports and everything like that. I think I was just lucky. Whereas, yeah. My kids.
Thick boned, I bet. I bet you got some thick bones.
I don't know how to take that, but I'll take it the wrong way. I'll tell you that much.
Nice
or insultingly.
Dense.
I don't know what you mean. Yeah. Well, actually, I drank a lot of milk growing up. I think that has to do with it.
How tall
I'm
are
not
you?
A hydro homie. What? I'm 5 foot ten and a half.
Okay. You're not that tall.
Yeah. Not that tall. No, thank you. Yes, I might as well be a dwarf. I get it.
Yeah. Well, there was this... I do this medical show over there on KTTH, and someone called in asking about why people are getting or so much taller in the last 20 years, and they said because of all the growth hormones.
They
feed the cows that then gets transferred into the milk, and then so all the kids in the 80s and the 90s around that time got pretty big.
Well, then maybe I'd be a lot shorter. I mean, my 14-year-old's already 6 feet tall.
Wow.
And he drinks milk constantly.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 It's the bane of my existence that he's not good at athletics.
Yeah, that's daunting. Also, having a 14-year-old be that much taller,
he's taller than
you.
Yeah. Oh, how do you think he feels about it? He thinks he's the lord of the castle.
Oh, I know. He showed you how to shave.
Yeah, right. He thinks he can take on the old man. He's right. I'm terrified of him. He's got these hormones, and he's so moody.
HGH.
He scares the hell out of me.
Well,
earlier tonight, he was singing, come a little closer, you're my kind of man, so big and so strong. I can't remember who that's by. Come a little bit closer. Is it Fleetwood Mac? Jay and the Americans. I don't know. It's a classic old song. And he was singing it, and I was like, oh, I'll joke about this with him. It'll be funny. And then he came down, and I was like, hey, I heard you singing up there. And he went, so? And I went, never mind. Jesus. <I'm> sorry. Came down. He's like, hey, buddy, so you're, I heard you singing a song up in your room.
And what do you want, old man?
Yeah.
And then he walked into your room a little bit later and was like, all right, here's 5 minutes. You can cry.
I'll give you 5 minutes to try to beat my ass, old man. Yeah, I am genuinely frightened of him. Anyway, back to Pedro Pascal. I think that scene, the Viper, because he was such a likable character and everything, was one of the worst death scenes on TV, in TV history. What was a worse death scene than that? Is there one worse than that? Or which is some really bad ones, like Hank Schrader getting killed in Breaking Bad. It's pretty bad.
Now, is it the way you go out, or is it also like the emotional weight? That
the emotion
with
you
the death?
Felt when it happened, because I felt really bad when Hank got it. And it was that
rough.
Whole last season just it was such a great show, but also just made me feel awful.
There's a death in Peaky Blinders. I don't want to spoil it for the audience, but that one.
My friend Rod loves that show. I've not watched it.
It's really good. Ozark had a couple of tough ones.
Yeah, Ozark was very good. You know what, though, still the worst. The first episode of Ozark has the guy falling out of the building. But the last episode of the first season where they're pulling his toenails off.
Oh, yeah. No.
Not to spoil anything, but John Lithgow is the Trinity Killer in Dexter,
yeah.
When he kills Dexter's girlfriend.
Dexter had a couple of dark deaths.
Well, yeah, Dexter, I mean, it was the whole point of that show. I didn't finish watching that show because it just got so bad so quickly.
I didn't watch especially, the reboot.
Yeah, I didn't watch that either. And it was like they promised that they were going to make amends, and they didn't. They didn't make it or anything. Maude Flanders on The Simpsons. Homer shot her with a t-shirt gun. No, he didn't shoot her. The Isotopes girls shot him with a t-shirt gun, but it was because Homer kept begging him to shoot him with the t-shirt gun, and then Maud got hit.
Has the Simpsons always been stationed out of Albuquerque? Or, like, is that their town?
Albuquerque, New Mexico? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the Isotopes is a AAA team in Albuquerque.
Are they really? Yeah. Well, maybe they're named after the Simpsons. Because that's way back. Like 89 or 90.
Yeah, early in it. Conan O'Brien writing days.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other shocking TV deaths. Oh, what was the guy on ER who got like his head cut off by a helicopter? Yeah. My wife has referenced that several times. Like Game of Thrones, I guess Ned Stark getting decapitated in the first season when you thought he was the main character.
Yeah.
That was shocking for people who hadn't read the books.
If you ever watched The Last Kingdom, there are some heartbreaking deaths in there.
I don't even know what that is. What's The Last Kingdom?
It's, I can't remember his name, but it's a story that it's based off of like real events that happened at how England became England. And so it's like how the Danes invaded England, and then the like couple hundred year war until it became England. But it's brutal.
Henry Blake from MASH. There you go. It's not the worst death, but it's the most shocking one. Cause he just left the show. His character was just leaving the show. And then at the end of an episode of MASH, like Radar comes in. He was like, oh yeah. Colonel Henry Blake's, plane was shot over the Sea of Japan, spun out, no survivors. And then he like leaves the operating room. It's like, did you have to tell him that while they're working there, Radar? Come on. That's what's so shocking is your lack of caring about meatball surgery.
What about
Radar?
Marley and Me?
Well, that's a TV or movie, not a TV show. True. And was it shocking that a dog died? Dogs die in movies. That's what's supposed to happen, unfortunately.
I don't know. Yeah. Early TV and movie writers really were just ruthless with killing pets, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in the 80s. They were so cruel to us. It's ridiculous. I don't know how we aren't all so screwed up just over our tax in the friggin' swamp of sorrow in The Neverending Story. It's Cairo Nights. Cairo Nights. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate it. How much time we got in this segment there, Max? These are questions I'd be able to ask if I was actually there.
Yeah. It's not. It's going to be a short one.
Short one?
Yeah, we got about like 4 minutes, people.
Okay. Then I'm going to play a quick game with you then, Max. I put together the most American game of all time. It's called Who Got to a Billion First? So I'm going to give you the names of two billionaires, and then you have to guess which one made $1 billion first? Okay?
All right.
Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos?
Bezos.
Bezos is the correct answer. I'm actually kind of not shocked, but a little bit. There you go. That's your you got it right sound, because I don't have
that's
that
what I live for.
Yeah. Yeah, Bezos is at 35 and Musk at 41, which, what a loser. Took him to my age to get his first billion. I mean, granted, I'm not, you know, worth a billionth of that, but still, I didn't come from Emerald Apartheid money.
I was going to say, maybe if you had the opportunities that he had.
Right, the opportunities. Yeah, that's a way of putting it. Not, you know, race-based diamond money. Anyway, Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg? That one's pretty easy, I think.
Yeah, that's Bill Gates.
First 2 billion.
Yeah.
You think it's Bill Gates?
Oh. I guess as far as whose age it was, huh? Yeah, then it was Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg at 23, Gates at 31.
Yeah, yeah. So not
both
not
a lot any, younger than Musk.
Not what year. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
All right. So who got to a billion first, Jay-Z or Rihanna?
Jay-Z.
Wait. Jay-Z didn't get it till he was 50. Rihanna got it at 34. So,
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think he's been a billionaire for very long. But it's kind of amazing how many musicians there are now that are billionaires. Yeah. And that has little to do with music at all, actually. It has to do with clothing lines, or Rihanna's case, it's makeup.
Really, those artists make the record labels all that money, and then it just propels them into a chance to invest and branch out and make more money.
Paul McCartney bought publishing rights to songs and things like that, and then of course Michael Jackson turned around and stabbed him in the back and bought the Beatles. Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods, which one made $1 billion first or younger? Whatever. I don't know if this is making sense.
Yeah, I know. I think it was Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan got to $1 billion before Tiger Woods. I'm actually surprised. I didn't know Tiger Woods was worth $1 billion. I guess if you're a golfer, money's just concentrated on you.
They're both Nike-endorsed athletes, too.
Jordan at 51 and Tiger Woods at 33. So Woods got there sooner, younger. Mark Cuban or Warren Buffett?
Cuban.
Cuban at 40, Buffett at 56. So you're right, though that was 60 years ago. So I don't know. Having $1 billion back then is probably a lot better. And finally, Oprah or Tyler Perry? Who became a billionaire younger?
Younger Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry is wrong. Ugh. Oprah got there at 49. Took Perry until he was 50. What a sack of crap.
Wow.
Ha! Loser. Not you. I was talking about Tyler Perry, seems like a wonderful person.
I've heard the opposite for Tyler Perry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, mostly because Well, that's a conversation for another day.
We'll do all 3 hours on what a scumbag Tyler Perry is tomorrow on Kyra Nights. Thanks for listening, everybody.